Welcome back for another bitchin' episode of Real Talk Sundays, the podcast where Russian roulette meets I don't fucking know, I googled it. I'm in a mood today, and we're gonna talk about all things periods, part two. So I'm super excited to do all of that, because this is the podcast
where some people can't handle their period no matter what day it is or their moods.
I'm actually ovulating, so I don't know what the fuck going on. I'm just in a mood today. It's okay, guys. You're joining us at a really good time because we have learned so much and we've applied a lot of the knowledge that we've learned from our past episode. So in this episode, we're going to do periods part two, where we continue from what we've learned, diving into a lot more on the science. And then, of course, the what the fuck? How does that happen? Why does that happen? And where are we at? So join us and put on, honestly, your boyfriend should sit in on this. Boyfriend, girlfriend, yes. They, them, I don't give a fuck, friend. Sit in on this.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to recap, go back to our episode in season one, episode 38. Hit that.
Hit it.
And just like look back. Maybe we have an Instagram video you could like or follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Threads. I'm loving Threads.
Hit up our Patreon and send us fucking money before you ask us for other shit.
If you need our Venmo, Amanda will post that on Snapchat as well. We're on Snapchat. We never advertise Snapchat. Dude.
We're on snibbity Snapchat.
Okay, but Threads, I'm digging, dude.
Yeah, Threads is titty bang bang.
It's thought provoking.
It really is.
It is. So.
And it's happier. It's a happier tone than your normal social media. I'm digging Threads as well. Chelsea's digging Threads too. There's just a lot of really good content. And quite frankly, I think, you know, some of this stuff that's a little more fact heavy, we should transcribe and drop on there just as a good article with all of the things hyperlinked.
Oh, yeah, that's such a great idea.
That's all I have.
But that's what people have been doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. It's a hype, you know, a good hyper positive vibe, which I really love because social media sometimes ain't that most times. But yeah. And in our last episode in season one, episode 38, we just talked a lot about each phase of our cycle. And that was really eye opening for both of us. And I've applied a lot of that knowledge. And I just felt really, really, I've been really in tune with that. And that was like, you know, more than half a year ago.
It's a year ago.
Yeah.
I took it very seriously. I did. And I would tell people there, I'm like, do you know about your phases? And they're like, no.
What are you talking about?
Nobody I talked to knew.
Yeah.
Just so you know. I was like, you guys need to listen to this.
Listen to it. It's a good summation. And then, so this one is, you know, so again, the recap was we learned about our phases, the elements to consider in your lifestyle, even when we talked about working out and what kind of workouts you should be doing during your time. Kind of the why behind a lot of the what's, birth control, hormones, different types of birth controls, and just other items really in depth, which is really great. So go check that out. So this one makes a little bit more context. Take the 101 before you get the 201.
Yeah. Can I do a tidbit of working out that I learned?
Yeah.
That for real, like this is not a joke. Like if I'm in the phase before my period, I legit cannot lift what I could have lifted the week before. So let's just say we're just doing some presses, right? It's about 5 to 10 pounds difference. And then I don't know if that happens to everyone's body is different, but for me personally, it's a big dip. And then if I have anxiety on top of that, so I was in Coeur d'Alene working out, my trainer was on FaceTime, and I was like, Larissa, I can't even get it. Mm-hmm. Like, what is going on? And she's like, Val, like, where are you at in your cycle? And then she said, your anxiety, because I flew there. After I fly, my body just like, deflates almost. Yeah. And so that, I legit couldn't do a 10-pound difference.
I think it's a big
crazy
one.
No, it was sad. It makes you upset.
Yeah.
You feel like a failure. You're like, I just lifted this the other day, and it's literally so dependent on that.
I'm just not vibing it today. And that's your luteal phase. Mm-hmm. So after ovulation, but before your period, you know, your menstrual phase. And the luteal phase, that's the real bitch. We got to talk about her. Because everyone's, you know, we'll talk about the whole, you're on your period, you must be on your period.
Yes.
Nah, that's not even the real problem. So it is, but it isn't. So the luteal phase, and that is so common. And we talked to Larissa, too, because we also had her on the podcast. We want her back because she was one of our favorite guests to have, just her. And
just her
and her knowledge. And it really does. That's a huge impact, especially too, when you think about people who are in fitness competitions and they're getting below 10%, 7% body fat, that has a huge contribution to your phase or lack thereof mm-hmm. on your period. You're skipping periods at that point because your body fat percentage.
I wonder if they're in those competitions, they're like, fuck, I can't
do it. It fucks your shit up. And it's just a mental.
Never thought of that.
I was also thinking too, like big time athletes, people mm-hmm. who are competing, Olympics, and if it falls,
WNBA,
yeah, it's falling right on that fuck week. You're like, fuck, like catch me in 2 weeks, I would have whooped your ass. And it's not an excuse or justification. We do it anyways.
I bet when you get into the professional athletes and even college these days, they have their like their psych, their sports psychologists. Mm-hmm. They have, I don't know why I said psychologist like that, psychologist. And then they probably have those medical teams that are like, hey, make sure you're taking this supplement, yep. this up. I bet they're But I would bet money that they are fucking square on that. But
definitely
on
the football team, but not the volleyball team, you know?
I don't know.
How many butts are you putting in seats?
Okay, sorry. Didn't mean to go on a side
tangent. No, valid. So if that piqued your interest, go take a look. Take a Google as well. So this is just shit that either people sent us, you know, on our Instagram or our DMs and stuff that we found through our friends, tidbits that we've learned from then to now. And there's, I'm not a doctor. I'm not, you know, but I am a uterus owner. So this is something that has really appeased me and I've been applying a few of these. But this next segment is just shit we've learned. Part two. And I think the biggest one too, I wanted to preface this by saying this shit, it irks me, the stigma behind ew, that's gross.
Yeah, it's like we talked about how our moms don't talk about it with their, you know, their husbands all the time because it's not something you're supposed to be open about.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's just crazy because like men take pictures of their shits and send them to their other friends, but we can't talk about periods like that. Just, what? Make that make sense. I have never, not one time, sent you a picture of my poo-poo and said, Val, check
that
out.
One of our friends has sent me a
pic
of their
poo.
I don't want to say.
Oh, my God. You got to tell me after.
It's somebody that you kissed on New Year's.
Oh, my God. That bitch would. Fucking nasty.
She's like, look,
bitch.
And I was like, don't ever fucking send that to me or show me again.
Look how healthy I am. Yeah. Fucking, huh? Anyways, it's not gross. That's just gross. This shit's every month for a bulk of our lives. So diving right in. These are just kind of like interesting tidbits that I picked up. Mm-hmm. The first one being, because we talk a lot about being bloated and all that stuff, and the uterus on any given day outside of your, you know, menstrual phase weighs about 2 ounces, which is probably about the size of a tomato, a healthy tomato, right? And on the first day of your period, it can swell up to 8 ounces. So basically the size of a large tangerine. And so when you're like, oh my God, my pants don't fit, I don't feel good. Don't get me wrong. Bloating is, you know, and of course puffiness and inflammation will happen. But just your uterus size alone will swell, which is interesting. But the biggest one that I had, speaking of shits, we always talk about like the period shits, right? And you're just like, fuck my life, this sucks. And we already have IBS. Like, we're busted, right?
So it's like times 10 when I'm, well, I mean, for me at least. But even like when I was younger, you never knew that was a thing. Mm-hmm. It was like in your 20s, you talk about it with your friends. You'd be like, wait, that happens to you too?
Mm-hmm.
How sad is that?
Carry a roll of toilet
paper.
Why
would no
my car?
One just tell you, hey, you might have more bowel movements if we're getting real technical when you're on your period. Why?
Yeah, it's rough.
Why
and,
is the question here?
Yeah, so I found it. And or sometimes, too, a lot of females will feel the sharp pain of their cramps in their fucking asshole.
Yeah, that happens to me.
And you're just like, Jesus, like, what is this pain? And what it is it's, in summation, hormones, specifically the prostaglandins. And they can cause contractions in your rectal tissue. And it results in severe cramping and also the main reason you get period
poos.
Scary,
you're like, oh my God.
So funny, I was like looking up this video too of this doctor explaining it and our producer walks in. I was like, and that's why you get period poops. Like, it is unreal, but it's just a lot of contracting, a lot of hormones. And then, yeah, and it's so close to your bowels and your, you know, and your colon. So it's like, hello. But yeah, so that was a big one. But, you know, going from ass to mouth, which you never should
do. Why do we get cravings?
That was a big one because I eat like a fucking asshole when I am in my, you know, on the end of my luteal phase, mm-hmm. and even on the first couple of days of my period. And there's a lot to that. And I think too, this kept coming up too when we were talking a lot about fitness and dietitian. Mm-hmm. And so I follow like one or two dietitians, and then a couple of them were popping up on my Instagram, and I was like, oh, interesting. And I follow some fitness people as well because I like to stay on the up and up. And that is a big play in a lot of their training and their nutrition. And a lot of people and dietitians will talk about how, why don't we save basically a caloric intake or an increase of caloric intake for your, you know, for that phase when you're hitting those cravings. But a lot of it came down to, you know, a week or so before your period. So again, in our luteal phase, this is where we're going to spend a bulk of our time is talking about the luteal phase. Your progesterone spikes, which stimulates our hunger hormone, ghrelin, and reduces our insulin sensitivity. And so it really makes us more likely to crave carbs. You know, you'll have those. And also, too, you're wanting spikes of dopamine because you're not feeling good. You're kind of feeling down. And so you're going to want stuff that makes you feel good. And you're actually going to unconsciously crave anywhere between 200 to 350. You're going to consume 200 to 350 more calories during this phase. And estrogen levels, you know, because they're at an all-time low, it lowers your serotonin as well. And so you're just intuitively wanting comfort. You're wanting feel-good shit. And I'm telling you right now, like, salad and kale don't make me feel good. Like, unless it's in, like, a really good lentil, like, creamy soup. But, like, I'm craving chocolate, cheese, breads, all the shit I shouldn't have, can't have, good burgers, like, sultry, you know. Food. So not only do you want to bump up that dopamine, but you're also just really wanting to feel good, cozy.
Just get us in and out. We'll be happy. Just in and out with a little like strawberry shake.
Yeah.
Easy.
That sounds lovely. And your metabolism is operating a little higher. So also too, you're consuming more calories unknowingly. So I thought that was a good one. So not to beat yourself up, but to just have more context and understanding that that's coming. So if you are on your fitness journey, you need to pepper that in.
People are, that's the one thing people know is like, hey, I have cravings.
Yeah.
That's like the only thing they tell you.
I get bitchy and I have cravings. I just want to eat everything. Yeah. Well, why? So here we are.
So
that was a big one. And we'll talk a little, you know, there's probably a few other sub points in here when it comes to food and stuff that you should be eating and vitamins. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But I took that one away. The other interesting and, you know, a little bit more on the science and studies. Oh, wait, no, that's next. We'll come back to that one. I wanted to talk about, because this one's close to my heart and your wife's heart, your wife's head, switching. Close to my head. Yeah. Skip that one. We'll come back. Neurodivergent individuals who have uteruses, right? We want to be inclusive here. But the stimulants as well and the efficacy of stimulants in different phases of your cycle. And this one hit me really hard because, one, I got some pretty nasty ADHD. And I pick and choose when I want to take my Vyvanse, my Adderall.
Yep.
And I don't like taking it consecutively. I don't like that I rely on it. It's whatever. It's my own fucking problem, okay? But stimulants are a lot less effective when you're in your luteal phase. And Adderall works differently when you are actually on your period. And all of this comes back to hormones. Honestly, putting the whore in hormones.
So what does it do differently when you're on your period?
And I wrote this down directly because I was like, I don't want to fuck this up. But your dopamine is directly related to how much estrogen you have in your body at any given time. And during the higher estrogen phases of your cycle, like your late follicular, and when you're ovulating, your ADHD symptoms won't be as bad. But when you're in your luteal phase and your estrogen is going to be real low, so is your dopamine. Mm-hmm. So your ADHD symptoms are going to act up a lot because ADHD and dopamine and estrogen, they're all hanging out together and they need each other to work. And so your symptoms are going to be a lot worse. And people going through menopause as well. This was, I thought, an interesting one. Your estrogen is going to be at an all-time low. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this in our menopause episode too. It's just, it's going to take a huge dive, especially if you have a hysterectomy where your ovaries are removed. And so you are going to have some women actually develop late onset ADHD because their estrogen levels tank so rapidly. And estrogen and dopamine are what ADHD is, you know, communicate with ADHD. So ADHD symptoms later in life can also happen. But because of estrogen levels and how much this plays a role in your cycle throughout the month, we need to increase our vitamin intake, right? And our supplement. And a lot of times if you're not eating a good, or you're eating a traditional, you know, the SAD diet, the standard American diet, mm-hmm. you're not getting the nutrients that you need. And even if you are eating well, a lot of times the quality of our food is not, it's subpar.
That's known, yeah.
Thanks, America. Appreciate you. So vitamins like calcium, they will lessen your symptoms of your period for PMS, and we'll talk about PMDD here in a minute. But they also help with fighting osteoporosis, because in menopause, your bone density takes a nosedive. So offsetting that with calcium, and also vitamin D.
When are we supposed to start taking calcium?
Honestly, like, I would get your blood work done to go from there, but probably premenopausal. So late 30s, early 40s. And then definitely if you're, you know, 40s all the way out, if you need to supplement with it, if you don't have a high calcium intake in your diet, that's just something you need to take. And calcium can only be absorbed, you know, if your guts are doing good. So you got to make sure your microbiome, you're taking prebiotic, probiotics, but also vitamin D, you're having a good fat soluble diet. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times, yeah, people will be taking supplements that either cancel each other out. They'll take a handful mm-hmm. of supplements in the morning, and your body can only absorb so much at one time.
Yeah.
And so not only are you taking too many vitamins at too many, you know, peak times of the day, you need to spread them out throughout your day. Some need to be taken multiple times a day with certain foods. Some need to be taken on empty stomach. So you can, like, wake up first thing in the morning, pop that, come back. K2, I take my vitamin D with K2. And that helps absorb it as well, you know, your potassium. But people with ADHD are deficient, just default, with vitamin D.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and vitamin D, if, you know, I think I've said this before, I'll say it again because it's so important. Your vitamin D levels, if you are low on vitamin D, it is a direct correlation to depression. Mm-hmm. And that was something when I got my blood work done like 18 months back, my level was 13. And my doctor was like, uh-oh, because I was like, I kind of just want to, like, kill myself a lot. Yeah. And that's weird. And I just think this is the new me. Like, yeah. I don't know what's going on. I'm trying everything.
I just got to fight through this.
Yeah, I just got to fight through it. And I was taking, like, probably, you know, like 500 IUs of, you know, in my vitamin pack of vitamin D. But my guts were so inflamed mm-hmm. because I was gluten intolerant. And I didn't know that at the time. So my guts were mad. I was taking vitamins, wasn't absorbing in my guts. And so my doctor was like, well, first of all, we need to get your guts right, but also we need to get you like on 100,000 IUs a week, because, bitch, this is so dangerously low. And I was like, oh, thank God, because I was really sad. Like, yeah. I don't know what's going on. And sometimes I have to check myself and be like, oh, fuck, when was the last time I took my vitamin? I usually take it every Sunday. And then I just got my blood retested, 63. And she's like, so your vitamin D's great. It's right where it's at. I was like, holy shit, I was at 13.
Yeah, that's crazy.
On top of being neurodivergent, on top of having gut health issues. So, like, ladies, if this is resonating, you're feeling off, listen to that body. But vitamin D and calcium are key ingredients in not only bone health, but mental health. Mm-hmm. So help yourself.
I literally set Kayla's, I give her 2 at a time because I know she's not going to take them consecutively. So I just set them on the bathroom counter. I was like, hey, your vitamin D's right there. That's what how I say it too. Your vitamin D's right there. And she's like, thank you, babe. Cause I just know. I'm like, bitch, I can't give this to you every day though. Mm-hmm. Like, figure it out.
Set your alarm.
I'll just put
it.
Two.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's so real.
Yeah, and I know a lot of times too, exercising. So we're talking about different types of exercises. And when you're on your period, right, you know, the last little phase of your luteal phase right before your menstruation, you do need to do, you know, if you're on an exercise regimen, it is important to exercise, but you need to do light to low impact, right? We're walking this time. We're doing a lot more meditation, yoga. And exercise is really pertinent to increasing your dopamine. And so, you know, during the low estrogen and dopamine phases where they're dipping, help yourself out, especially with cramps, especially if you're feeling extra scattered with your neurodivergence, and go work out. I know you don't want to and you don't have to do crazy intense shit, but get your body moving and help yourself. So that was a big one. It's just a lot of hormones and neurodivergence. And that hit home because I was like, oh, my God, that's me. And if you know that, you can plan for that. So I really enjoyed that. And we did talk to you a little bit in the last episode about different types of foods that were higher in, you know, when we talked about dark chocolate, we're talking about blueberries mm-hmm. and all that. So you can definitely figure out what to add into your diet a week before, mm-hmm. Especially too. If
I thought
you,
it was for the full month before.
I don't even know. And also water around
so
the clock.
Last
yeah.
time you said that it's like whatever you eat and do with your body stress levels like yeah. weeks before.
And water's a big one. Mm-hmm. I have noticed that was a really big one. The more dehydrated you are throughout your cycles, the harder your period is going to be. And we will reiterate, painful periods, heavy, hard periods, that is not normal. And so if you're feeling off or you need that, it's important to get your blood work done, check out your hormone cycles, your hormone levels, get those checked out, and just kind of calibrate from there. So that was a big one for me. And so for all those bitches out there with the ADHD taking your pills, listen up, take care of yourself and look at your period through a microscope. But this next one found me and I was shocked. I saved this one a while ago and I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. Because I have a little girl who is six. She just turned six. And so the thought of her starting a period in a couple of years is
3 years,
jarring.
Yeah.
But young girls are starting their periods in America earlier than ever.
Mm-hmm.
9 years old in some cases. And I had heard too, you know, when I first started my period, because I didn't start my period until I was 16.
What a dream.
Yeah, I was a late bloomer. I thought I was a dude. I was like almost 17 years old. And a lot of it too was explained that women were starting to have their periods, you know, young girls were starting to have their periods younger because of our BMI increasing and our, you know, the amount of fat that we had in our bodies because of our diets in America. Mm-hmm. It was offsetting and it was tricking our body into right. saying, oh, she can hold a baby in her womb. She's of weight. So go right. ahead. But according to the hormone specialist, Lane Kilpatrick, he has found that in a number of girls who get their periods before the age of 9 has more than tripled since the 1950s. And a huge trigger for this is the number of products that we're using that contain fragrance in our households. We're talking, you know, our sprays for when we
yeah,
go to the bathroom.
Like
we're talking
and stuff.
Perfumes. We're talking laundry detergent. We're talking candles. We're talking those incense and other, you know, diffusers. Mm. So we're talking about a majority of the products, especially too if you're using cleaning products with lavender scent.
Oh,
all those little things that you don't really pay attention to, because or even my I literally was like, why does my toilet paper smell like flowers? And I bought on accident a scented toilet paper. And I was like,
oh, the same thing of like the scented tampons you're not supposed to get.
Like, oh, damn it. In theory, this sounds great. Like, yeah. Why wouldn't you want to put scented toilet paper yeah. on your ass? No, you're fucking your ass. Like, don't do that. But a huge trigger for this is the number of products that we're using with fragrance in our homes. And the Endocrine Society found that musk ambret. It's a common fragrance chemical, and it can stimulate receptors in the brain that are responsible for puberty. The study states the ability of these compounds to stimulate key receptors in the hypothalamus, the gonadotropin, releasing hormone receptors in the kisspeptin receptors, raises the possibility that the exposure may prematurely activate the receptive axis in children. So it's not just musk amber either. And this one, where I was starting to go around my house because I was like, shit, how much of my shit's got fragrance,
yeah,
fragrance
in it? Yeah.
Fuck. And
like,
it,
I don't want her to get her period at 9, oh like just God. Freaking out.
She's
like,
already pretty yeah. saucy. Yeah. Like, oh my God. And she's a baby.
Yeah.
She's a baby guru. And so, oh my God, get out of here. And so the fragrance on the label, it can actually hide a cocktail of multiple different ingredients in there. And they don't have to. They just put on there on your label too. You'll see things that just say fragrance or parfum.
Mm.
And so it's actually hormone disrupting chemicals like phthalates, synthetic musks, styrene, ethyl oxalated compounds, tolotulene or whatever. And they don't even have to list it because it's not required by the FDA. It's not required by all these companies to list this. So they'll just say fragrance, parfum, lavender scented. And they're hidden under these tombs. So you really need to look into these unscented products and start purchasing scent-free, fragrance-free, or products scented with essential oils.
Okay, essential oils then. I was like, yeah. Dang, what are we supposed to do? Everything's going to smell like shit.
I know. So you can still make your house smell
light
great.
Light a match.
Right? For real, though.
Are those still safe?
Bro, I don't know. That's what I do. I light matches. Fuck, I don't know. God damn it.
I don't know. We got to look into that next.
I got to go. I'm going to Google it. And so that was a big one.
Either way, even if she doesn't get her period at 9, like, if it's like 11, like, she's 6. She's got 5 years, dude.
That's insane.
I was 11.
Oh, my God.
It was a softball practice. We talked about that in the last one.
So that to me is like, okay, you know, and I want to.
It's just sad. It sucks. Like, well, you can't stop her body, but you can try.
Like, keep her healthy, you know, as far as good food.
She's super thin. Yeah.
She's built like her dad. I'm like, you lucky bitch.
I know. I think she's going to be fine. She has like no body fat. She'll be fine.
She got little abs. I was like, what are those? Like, what? Yeah, she got her skinny dad body. Mm-hmm. And then she's really long. Mm-hmm. So I was like, watch you get my height, your dad's build, and his fucking eyelashes. Ooh.
And Dom's just like, oof.
He's like, dad's height, my build. I was like, yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, buddy. You're a linebacker and a half, aren't you? Ah, my little guy. And I actually got this question the other day because I was talking to my friends that are little on the hippie guru sads, mm-hmm. you know, my hippie whippy witches. And, a woman had asked me a question, well, what about boys? What's it doing to boys? And I was like, oh, fuck, I didn't get that far. It's fucking us up that bad. I can only imagine.
I mean, maybe it's probably making them, I could predict that it is making them go through puberty faster too.
Or like just offsetting their hormones.
But it's a little different and maybe they're masturbating a little bit earlier. I don't know.
I would think their hormones with like testosterone.
That's what I'm saying.
You know,
like they're higher testosterone.
So I'd be curious. No, Christine actually, she said something, but I totally forgot. But I would love to come back to that. I was like, mm-hmm. put a pin in that because I want to look. I want to see.
Yeah, people need to know that. You got kids.
Like, but you
got
to understand, like, from the day you start, like, some of the things too, I noticed in their toothpaste, strawberry flavored, strawberry scented. And then the bath stuff that we're using, bath bombs that we use.
Oh, shit.
Shampoos and conditioners that we're using, soaps. I was like, oh my God.
And I was like, we're going to have to go all natural.
The stuff I'm wiping the tables off of before we eat, the Dial soap that's lavender scented instead of just regular Dial, like everything.
I have seen stuff like that.
Everything I'm using.
I use all natural deodorant. I'm not fucking around anymore. Yeah. I'm sure I could limit other things too, but that was the first thing that got me.
Bro, audit your house.
Yeah.
And you don't have little girls, but I'm just saying, like hormones be hormoning, man.
Menopause, bro.
Fuck. It's important to look at that shit, or at least moving forward, your purchasing powers. Like, mm-hmm. if you can go more all natural, and there are cost effective
things.
But
the ones that you think are all natural end up not being all natural. They're like, oh, a study just came out and these ones are bad. And they were like really expensive.
Yeah. And going back to basics too, your baking soda, fucking vinegar and borax solution. Like, you know what I mean?
Keeping it very simple. Hey, I have a great idea. Maybe you should home make some cleaning supplies and then give it to me.
Yeah.
Great idea. I'll pay you.
And I would do that too. I used to when I had my old house. Mm-hmm. I would shred the soaps, the all natural soaps, and I would mix it with baking powder and cleaning detergent. And it would last a lot longer. It was way cheaper, but labor of love. Yeah. You know, you're mixing that shit. But
hey, we'll tell Chelsea to do that. Maybe she would do it.
When in doubt, outsource it out.
I'll pay her for it.
So that was a big one. So if you have little girls, you know, that are coming up, even if they are young and have already started their period, it's still worthwhile. It's a lifestyle change and it's worthwhile. Mm-hmm. But we had brought up too, cramps during your ovulation phase.
I saw this on Threads.
Yeah. Hit me with that. Cause I was like, huh? Cause I don't get that. When I ovulate, bitch, it's feral. Like, I'm feral. And the only way.
I'm not feral ever.
Yeah, the only way I know I'm ovulating, one, because we talked about it, too, mm-hmm. in the last episode, the drop, which is just like an increase of this mucosa. You're wet more. You know, it's probably it's 1 to 2 days, mm-hmm. right? It's a solid window, 12 to 24 hours, sometimes a little longer, and it's this drop. And you'll feel it and you'll see it. You'll see it in your underwear and you're just like, okay, my energy shifts. I am absolutely feral. And it's a week to where I'm like, yeah, I'm just like, meow. But then that day or two, I'm like, oh, she's ovulating. So I use a little more toilet paper. You know, yeah. I'm just doing, you know, whatever. But I don't ever cramp or get.
It's anything. Not like a cramp. Like you can feel it like right here.
Huh. I don't. Well, maybe I'll pay attention now. Who knows?
I'm trying to show that it's like there's dog hair. Don't worry. It's like literally down here. It's just like a little feeling that you can feel. What is right there? I don't fucking know.
Huh.
Unless something's wrong with me, but someone on Threads feels it too.
If anything, the internet's taught me we're not alone in any. Yeah. You're not special in any capacity.
But it's not on the left side. It's for me, it's the right side. And I just feel like a little, it's not discomfort. It's just like you can feel it. Like, oh, like if I'm walking, it's not when I'm sitting. If I'm walking, I'll feel like a little, I'm like, huh. Oh, yeah, that's it's when I'm ovulating.
That is very interesting.
I wonder if it's the eggs coming out.
Yeah.
No, or like I'm not, like I'm being funny, like eggs releasing.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Maybe. I mean, that's valid.
We'll have to look into that. Don't, yeah. If anybody on the fucking internet calls me out for not being fucking factual, it's how I'm feeling. So DVD. You're not in my body. My body, my thoughts.
Hashtag feminism. But it's, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
But that's really what it feels like is an egg dropping.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt. It's just like a little uncomfort.
Interesting.
Sorry you don't feel that. Sorry you don't feel that.
I just feel wet and delicious. I don't know what that's all about. So interesting.
I gotta pee now.
And your water's fine. I mean, your water's knocked over. I don't want to spill on these nice couches. So yeah, I thought that was a very, very interesting fact. I was like, good.
But it's just like the same. Everyone's different. That's what I really loved about somebody texted saying they loved the menopause episode.
Oh.
Anyway. Oh, it's Chelsea.
Yeah.
And she was like, it's really cool to hear how your moms had different experiences. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, that's what we like too. But same thing. You're like, yeah, I use extra toilet paper and I have all, that's not what happens to me.
Yeah.
I just feel it. Weird, huh?
Yeah. No, I definitely love that as well. And then, yeah, just different experiences and periods all together. And like how I'm, when I'm getting older, each one's getting a little more intimate.
Do you have the fear? I know you have the fear because your family's had hysterectomy. So that's like a real fear. But I have this fear that I'm going to get menopause early. Like that's just my luck. Mm-hmm. But there's not that genetic like thing that's happening. But that's what it feels like to me.
Yeah.
When I'm walking through Fred Meyer and fucking gagging that I'm going to throw up.
Yeah. So let's talk about that one too. I didn't even put this on here that you're not alone. So I've heard a couple of women that are also doing that. So during their periods, like the first couple days of their periods, is so intense. Like, and it's not even necessarily cramps are so painful. Like what is making you, it just comes on.
So my cramps, it's like, it almost is like every other month, like this month, my cramps were not as bad. I still use the heating pad. And what happens to me personally in my 30s is I get my period in the middle of the night. And yeah, it's the worst thing because, you know, I love my sleep. And so then I'm just laying there with a heating pad, like fucking dying for hours. And then once I get up, I'm okay. Cause you know, I got to start the day.
Yeah.
So like go to work. But now this is a newish thing, but when I would, the cramps were so bad, the pain was so bad. I would throw up, right? That has stopped. That has stopped since I did the magnesium and stuff like that. But now the cramps are kind of bad, not as bad. But now I call them episodes. I thought it was anxiety. It's not. I figured out it's something to do with my period.
I got to put a pin in that too.
Yeah, because I was literally in Fred Meyer and I'm just gagging.
Wow.
And I'm like, what the? And I'm pushing the cart like, and people are looking at me and I'm like, pretending like I'm
about my period. I'm on my period.
No, that's literally what it was like. And I was like, I had the episodes all day. I'm talking all day. It would just come on. And I'm like, God, am I that stressed? Because that's, I was trying to be self-aware. Like, am I stressed? I think it was all encompassed.
Perfect storm.
And then I got to Top Golf. And so I probably was, you know, over 12 hours into my period, right? It gets to Top Golf at like 7 that night. No fucking gagging. I don't know.
That has never found me. Yeah. I'll have to look
into
that.
It's in my 30s. I'll tell you that. That never happened before.
This is 30.
It's everything is in your 30s.
Fucking 30.
And they
30?
Need to tell you that because this never happened before, ever. Yeah,
Everything shifts, man. I don't tell you. And we're turning, we're approaching mid 30s.
When you feel nauseous like that and the gagging, that has to be too much estrogen.
I'm valid. I don't know if estrogen plays. I mean, it's hormones be hormone. And so I know it's a hormone thing, but I
have a feeling it's estrogen. Write that down, because we're going on right now, but I know this. When I went off, when I tried a new birth control before I went off birth control completely, they discontinued one that I had taken all those years. And they're like, here's the new one you're going to take. And I took it and I was driving and I started gagging and I was like, I'm not fucking taking this. Mm-hmm. And it was happening. And they go, oh no, that means that birth control is causing you to have too much estrogen. So I'm remembering this. So I think it's too much estrogen.
And then after a while, you were like, I'm a lesbian. So
It was after that. I said I'm not doing birth control anymore. I was like 25.
That is a good one. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, so, yeah. Something to consider.
Gagging, man.
Gagging. So that kind of leads us into our next segment, which is the periods and relationships. And how your hormones are playing such a big role. You know, each phase of your cycle is playing a very big role in your dating life, your relationship life. We talked too, because you're married to another woman. Mm-hmm. So you guys are synced together. If you have female roommates.
We haven't been synced until recently. And we're still not. And I'm like, how are we not synced?
We're together
24/7.
All the fucking
we
time.
Work at the same place, like, and it's almost synced, but not all the way.
Yeah, because you're working with a lot of other women too.
That's true.
So everyone's, you know, what we're smelling and not smelling is crazy to me too.
Right.
But I think it's a big one is having open conversations of where you're at in your cycle with your partner. Mm-hmm. And these are, you know, these are important to have in, I think, each phase. And one, to educate up our men and our boys. I'm very excited for my little man to know everything already. He's very curious and I'm very transparent with what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. And, you know, the joke too, where it's like, can you hand me a tampon? Well, which color do you want? Well, each color is a different flavor. So hand me the orange one, you know, and it's educating them up on the type of products that we're using, the different things out there, but specifically where we're at in our phases to one, prepare them as well and how they can best support you and how you can best support yourself. But I think taking the stigma out of hush, hush, not talking about it, or ew, that's gross. I don't want to know when you're on it. Quite frankly, grow up, bruh. Like, you need to grow up, because if you have a woman in your life, this is a part of that. Mm-hmm. And also this preps you for premenopausal and menopausal symptoms as well. And it allows you to be a more understanding and a more beneficial partner and a better support system. And, you know, a lot of women too, men always joke, they're like, how much water have you had today then? And it's just that kind of, I think, narrative of, I want to be a better support to you. I want to be that. And also, they should be prepared for the good times too.
Like, just be like, hey, I'm coming up in my luteal phase. And you don't even have to give them that title. You can just say, this is where I struggle more. Coming up to it. Heads up.
Heads up.
That's all you have to say.
Yeah. Heads up. It's coming.
And he'll be like,
also,
all right,
I'm cramping a little bit. So probably the next few days or two, I'm going to have my period. You know how that goes. And then, you know, especially too, if they are, you know, suffering from really heavy periods or they're suffering from endometriosis and things like making sure that you have, you know, heating pads ready and comfort foods available.
Right.
And so it just goes a long way in releasing that stigma. But we were talking about the cliche that, like, oh, you must be on your period. And, like, you know, that narrative too of just like that.
Oh, you're really emotional. Like,
women are emotional, and I do think that is dying out. I really do, because, like, the fuck. And the funny thing is most of the parties happen in the luteal phase. Like, the pain and the application, if you're having painful, heavy periods, absolutely, it's miserable. But ironically, you're still going to work. You're still standing at your podium delivering your speech final. You know what I mean? You're still doing the things you need to do.
I've never missed work because of that.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. And we even talked about that in the last episode too, where it's almost like we sometimes have this double-edged sword or this backhanded as a woman. There's some shit that I've done where I would love to have called into work, but I fucking didn't. And so when women are like, I can't come in today, I'm fucked up. And it's, you know, and they do tell you the truth. Like, I'm on my period. It's really bad this time. You're just like,
I'm not going to lie. I've judged the fuck out of people for staying home when they're on their period. Yeah. And I've witnessed it. And I'm like, really, dude? Like, come on.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel bad for judging, but also, like, not, again, everyone's period's not the same, but knowing that I'm like, okay, you can come to work.
Can you though?
But that's not right of me.
Can you though? Yeah. And how bad it is. How bad they're feeling.
As you, I'm gagging in fucking Fred Meyer. I was fucking shopping for work. I was at Fred Meyer for work.
Yeah. I don't know. That's just crazy.
I think it depends on if you can truly do it or not. Yeah. You know, it's a mental and physical game.
And quite frankly.
And not every woman is mentally strong. No offense.
Yeah. And I like.
Is that real? Wait, fuck.
Well,
but
no.
They're not. We say that like, not every man is mentally strong either. Sorry.
But and I think that's the hard part too, is allowing that grace, not bastardizing that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Not
at least I admitted it.
Yeah. Not using that, but and then we always joke about too on the inverse, if men had periods, one, everything would be free. Two, like they would have so many available, cheap and easy and effective, you know, ways that you could help yourself in having, you know, better periods. A lot of procedures would be free. And yeah, no, oh, you're on there. Well, Dave, take your 5 to 7 days. Cash out on your period PTO. Cash out, use your PPPTO. Okay. So that's a big one is, yeah, you must be on your period is ironic because a lot of times it's not even the actual period where the shit's hitting the fan.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying don't let a man or a woman use your period against you, I think.
Don't.
Like in a relationship.
Yeah. And when you're in a relationship, whether it's, you know, multiple women are in there or you're with your one partner, I just think it's better to have that dialed in. And even like on a calendar, sometimes I put a little dot on my calendar. And I'm like,
oh, that's nice.
Me. Mostly too, because when you go to the doctor, they're like, where's the date? You know, first date of your last period.
You know, your phone tracks that.
Oh, I put it in my calendar and I literally just put a red dot, like a red dot emoji. And that's how I find it. And I put it in the search bar in my calendar.
Yeah, my Apple thing does it.
Good to know. But yeah, so moving right along too is this next segment, which is the science and studies that we found. And I really loved these. I blame my curiosity too, because I subscribe to a lot of science, a lot of female scientists who post, did you know, or what the facts, right? And it's fascinating. And the one that I wanted to drive home was this Alzheimer's studies.
Ooh.
And Alzheimer's, you know, period blood has been starting to be studied since about 2007. And it was... They took period blood as a potential treatment for Alzheimer's disease because specifically menstrual blood contains stem cells, and menstrual blood derived from stem cells, or they call it capital M, so men, capital SCS, so menses, you know, stem cells are self-renew, you know, they self-renew and they transform into different cells like brain cells, muscle cells. And this is also important too. You know, they usually take them from bone marrow. And I had read too when I was having kids, you know, always save your kids' teeth because if they need stem cells or they get paralyzed or something happens, like you can submit their teeth to extract stem cells. And
what?
Whether or not that's fucking true, I don't know. Yeah. I got all their teeth. I'm just saying. Don't tell them the tooth fairy's got them, but I know her. So I have all their teeth. I know another guy who's got a lot of teeth too. So if I ever need some, I can take out
and
a loan.
Blood. He's and got blood. Teeth and blood. Uh-huh. Fucking Satan.
And so they have been taking them, you know, from bone cells, and they are a game changer when it comes to, you know, regenerative medicine. But menstrual stem cells are supercharged, and they are doubling every night. They're doubling 19 hours faster than the extracts from bone marrow. So the stem cells pulled from bone marrow, and bone marrow takes like bone marrow stem cells take like 2 to 8 days, whereas this is 19 hours. And so in a 2018 study, they showed that, you know, menstrual stem cells injected into the brains of Alzheimer's mice improved memory and cleared brain plaque. So it's really, really fascinating. I'm loving,
thank
I'm
God
seeing
they're
the
researching
progress.
This. I'm just ready, yeah. Man.
And then which, you know, the other study I put, and we've seen a few of this. And if you don't follow, it's called, I want to say it's called the Pink Pill podcast, where she has a podcast with her husband, where she serves him basically pink pill information, about just what's going on, in, you know, in the woman's realm. And so a lot of times, you know, when it comes to gender gaps and different statistics, but she had, mentioned, and it caught my attention about how globally less than 5% of funding goes towards women research.
Oh,
and
that is really hard because not only do we make up half of the population, but globally only 5% of funding is going to medical research. And of that 5%, a majority of that is allocated to cancer research. And so you have things like menopause and periods and different types
cancer's
of
cancer so fucking through the roof. They have to.
All that shit's just getting left behind.
But I just have a question of whose period blood are they taking?
I don't know. Any woman that's bleeding, I guess.
I don't know, but they just put out like an ad like, hey, if anyone's willing to give us your menstrual blood. Like,
you'll be compensated for your time. Yeah. Or they'll just kind of, I think how people do focus groups. Sometimes I do focus groups for money as well. I'll answer different things or I'll
curious. And you're just getting someone else's period blood into your brain. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a mouse. Sorry. It's right. That's not human study. That's the mice.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that was 2018.
Yeah,
so that's a big one.
They're putting in humans now.
I hope. Honestly, anything helps at this point. It's Alzheimer's. That shit's serious.
Yeah, I know.
And so I think, and then you have a lot of other, like, don't get me wrong, a lot of like hippy dippy people will use period blood for some pretty interesting
shit. Put it on their face. I've seen that.
So, but in a lot of them too, will say like how powerful it is, which, yeah.
Look, I don't have any more wrinkles.
I agree. But put it in there. But yeah, so I thought that was interesting, especially interesting. Because, God, we need it. We need it. And then we were talking, too, about how a lot of the absorbency in certain period products were being tested with saline solution. Scientists and doctors were using saline solution to test the efficacy of those. When the fuck? Like, I don't know if you use saline solution versus your period blood, but blood consistency in general is just different.
Right.
And so now just recently starting to use actual period blood or period mimicking blood to test pads, absorbency of pads and tampons.
Right. I remember you mentioning that.
Okay. Aside from tampons just being covered in lead.
I got the good tampons this time, but I got to buy double when you're lesbian.
Yeah, dude. This shit's crazy. Oh my God. And Diva cups. And like I was looking at too is how sometimes, so there's a gap between your fallopian tube and your fallopian tubes, you know, basically like this, you know, it connects to your uterus. And there's a bit of a gap between your ovary and your fallopian tube. And so sometimes my fear was I would trip out while I was laying down and my Diva cup in, and I was like, oh my God, what if the blood, you know, goes back up into my fallopian tubes? Like, what am I going to do? And there is actually a space between where blood actually can go back up into your fallopian tubes, and then it just goes into your abdomen, your body, you know, your cavity, and gets reabsorbed.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you are heavily bleeding and it gets reabsorbed into your abdomen, that's not good. You're going to start to feel some discomfort there, but that's a lot of blood that's getting reabsorbed. But for the most part, yeah, happens all the time if you're laying down or you're in a deep, you know, and it's just the body's natural way of reabsorbing. But what I wanted to get into too is PMDD. And this found me because I kept seeing these little like, you know, podcast excerpts, you know, pop up and being like, do you just want to fucking unalive yourself? Are you blowing up your life 1 to 2 weeks at a time? And then you're spending the rest of your time doing the damage control from that. Like, let's unpack that a little bit. And they're deeming this PMDD, which is premenstrual dysphoric disorder. And it's a mood disorder where in your luteal phase, you have like depression, severe anxiety, suicidal thoughts. And it's causing it to where it's such an intense and severe mood shift. It is now life altering. You're making decisions.
You're almost being like bipolar, but only in the luteal.
Only in that window. Yeah. And then you're back to it and you're doing damage control. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, this has been finding me specifically too when I've noticed it when I got off my antidepressants and I was just having a really hard time, but I've noticed it's the last like probably two years or so, specifically in this. And to where I don't want to be around my kids extra. I'm real mean, real, real mean, and their dad as well. And I have a lot of resentment built towards that. And I'm unpacking that. I'm healing through that on the therapy side. But there has been times where I have said things, done things, made decisions, and I'm pretty sure have made some core memories for my kids just being fucking on one.
Yeah.
And then I have to do damage control the rest of the time. And I'm like, what is going on? And specifically their dad had pointed out like, up, steer clear, like mean mommy's in town kind of vibes, or like, damn, dude, or like, what is this? And then we talked too when we were, you know, about a year ago saying, don't make heavy decisions during this phase. Don't make heavy.
That was huge, yeah.
Don't be buying houses. Don't be making decisions to mm-hmm. uproot your life in this, because there is some root to that. This, you know, there's not as much mental clarity, but this is severe. This is where it's really changing your life. And no studies are really, you know, are on this right now because it is so new. But I saw this thing, God bless TikTok, about using a histamine blocker or Pepcid AC. And I was like, huh? So I tried it last month. And I will say, I didn't want to yeet myself out the window. It was this chick being like, I want to yeet myself out the window. And I heard this thing. So I took some of it and I tried it and I don't want to yeet. And I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. If I can just feel a little bit normal, if I could not be mean mommy,
yeah,
I'm going to take it. It's a fucking H2 blocker. Why wouldn't I?
What is it?
Pepcid AC?
Yeah.
It's a histamine. It's an H2 blocker. And so, like, and that's the thing too, is I had these allergists, allergists that are saying, well, no studies, you know, no clinical trials are being done. Mm-hmm. Well, bitch, yeah. Even they're not even clinical trials on menopause. My ass.
Yeah.
If you're going to, you know, take Tums because your tummy hurts, I'm going to take a histamine blocker in anything.
Yeah.
I'll shoot my shot. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And I'm going to try it again this next month and I'm going to see if it works. And I think that it's important, yes, talk to your doctor, but like if it's a safe something to try, why wouldn't
or
you?
Or a supplement or, yeah.
Yeah. If you're going to try magnesium, you're going to increase your calcium, you're going to take your vitamin D, fucking kick it on the top. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to keep doing that, but like, it's just, I think, important to try. I'm going to report back. I'm going to keep doing it. And that, you know, and that's the hard part too, is there's not a lot of science between like, why is a histamine or, you know, why is this H2 blocker having such an impact on this PMDD or the severe mood swing? So I'm going to try it out. We'll see if it works. Works.
I'm so thankful that I don't have that.
Yeah.
It's rough. I would rather gag. Yes.
And that's the thing. I was like, I'll take Pepsi. but I've definitely ruined quite a few things, or I don't like that. Or I have a short fuse.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even times in my life where I'm like, fuck, dude, I can't be around certain people at certain times of my month because I'll pop off.
Yeah, but I think you also, that kind of started after you had kids.
Yeah, yeah, it got worse for sure.
That's what I'm saying.
And my periods have gotten worse as well. But
kids,
we love them, don't we? And then I found this on the National Geographic as well. This was a new study that show volume and thickness of certain brain regions expand during monthly periods. So our brains are literally changing.
Well, that's during why you're like, phases. Get the fuck away from me. My brain's swollen.
My hypothalamus is swollen. But yeah, so I thought it was
my uterus.
Fuck. But yeah, through these studies, we now have this picture of emerging, how potent these hormones are for shaping not just brain morphology, but also the functional architecture of them, says Emily Jacobs, a neuroscientist at the University of California, Santa Barbara. And so it was a really great National Geographic article. If you have any at natgeo.com, this was a great article that was published. But the hippocampus, you know, the size of the hippocampus, which is involved in your memory, it increases during the cycle. Your perineal cortex, the volume of the perineal cortex, which is involved in memory and sensory information, increases. Your parahippocampal cortex, and that's involved in memory, encoding, and retrieval, expands. Brain function changes implicit memory. So a lot of things tied to memory here. And the information we unconsciously know, such as habits and atomic behaviors, can ebb and flow during the menstrual cycle. And again, with your hormone fluctuations like mood swings, heightened emotions, increased irritability, and brain fog. So something too, and I would be curious how this ties also into menopause and premenopause.
It's all linked. Come on.
It's all together. But yeah, so, you know, and of course, you know, menopause, touching back in on menopause, if your ovaries are removed during your hysterectomy, you know, and when your uterus is removed, it can significantly increase your risk of osteoporosis. We talked about that earlier. Mm-hmm. And so the sudden drop in estrogen levels, I was talking to my mom about this, you need to take your calcium for bone health. And she was like, I've been trying methane blue.
Oh, yeah, she was saying that.
Yeah, and I was like, ooh, methane blue. And also that she was like, I went back to the place that she was saying, I don't think it was Grocery Outlet, but to get those vitamins, they're sold out. She's like, I've been back 2-3 times and none of them are fucking there. And I was like, what?
Where did she say?
I can't remember. It was By Mart. She's like, I've been back 2-3 times. They're not fucking there. They're all bought out.
To get them off Amazon.
I was like, I know, Mom, our menopause episode went viral. So every By Mart in the Treasure Valley is vacant. Methylene blue or MB, it can interfere with the estrogen receptor protein binding capacity. And so it's a man-made medicine and antioxidant properties that have been studied for its potential to treat age-related conditions such as menopause. And they use it for a lot of other reasons too, you know, but I am always hesitant for man-made stuff. And also, I don't like the term man-made. I don't like that.
I wonder why.
Yeah. Human-made. I don't really like that. But fuck, if it works, it works at this point, right? So if you honestly, if we can put more tools in our tool belt for everything that's happening, why wouldn't we? Mm-hmm. And so we'll end on this before we dive into the artisan song of the week. I think it was like one of a couple videos. And of course, when your algorithm is like, you like these videos, we're going to show you more. I was like, okay, there is some validity to this. And after our feminism, you know, and kind of all the things that I'm uncovering through feminism, this kind of hit home and I was like, ooh, I kind of like it, but pivoting the names of our phases. And it was a plea from this spiritual feminist that I found her. She was a creator, Megan Michelle, and that she worded it so elegantly. So I essentially was like copy paste. And she's begging us to stop with the scientific names of our cycle, mostly because they are man given and they don't seem to understand, respect, or revere the true creativity, sovereignty, and the power that is our entire phase, you know, our entire cycle. And she invites you to transcend patriarchal consciousness by inviting a supporting sovereign language like menstruation. She said menstruation's fine because that's exactly
what's happening, right? Yeah.
I think it's ironic that the word men is in menstruation.
Oh, regardless. I did not even think of that.
Regardless, it is what it is. But she recommended empowering it into use inner winter or my bleed. Now, the almost that like knee-jerk cringe that comes when you say bleed is she spent a little time talking about like stopping the shame around my bleed or, you know, and all of that, but using my inner winter. And she broke it out towards, essentially the season. So instead of follicular, inner spring, instead of ovulation, inner summer, and instead of luteal, inner autumn.
Interesting. I feel like we should come up with our own names.
Why not?
That would be so fun to be like, I'm in my raging bitch phase right now.
Or something that's
not like that. I'm saying nicer, but not like that. But
something creative.
Because this doesn't really, I think it's sweet. That's cute. Like inner spring, but it doesn't really describe it.
There's a lot of days in a season.
Yeah.
So it's, I think, I don't know. I found it, romantic.
Right.
I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought this towards the end because originally I put it at the beginning and I was like, oh, this whole time we're going to be like, I mean, inner winter. It just adds convolution, but something to sit on and think about.
It makes it sound nicer.
It really does because quite frankly, like Mother Earth and her seasonal changes. I mean, fuck, I like that.
But I think we could come up with our own. That would be funny.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind.
Like making them funny, but nice.
I'm in my leaky faucet phase. Bruh.
I'm so creative.
Thank you so much. I love a good acronym. Who knows what we could come up with? But food for thought to think about that. And so I don't know. I'm gonna try it out. I'm gonna try it on. But thank you for joining us. Yeah. Any last words on
message us if you have horrible periods, what you thought about what we brought up.
We'll put up a little
thingy. What is it called?
A poll?
Yeah.
No.
Poll. Yeah. We could. How bad are your periods? Like or something.
And quite frankly, 1 to 10. Thank everybody who sent us. Mm-hmm. There was just quite a few studies where I was like, ooh, like and sending, you know, the big one was that Nat Geo and reading that article and seeing those brain scans visually was really impressive. And so it's really great. I love that our listeners are involved in this. And also, God, we got some smart fucking people. Humans are so fucking smart. And so I'm really enjoying that interaction. But in lieu of it, of being a period, we settled on Hell on Me for the song for the song of the week. This is by a newer artist, Johnny Huyn, and it's spelled H-U-Y-N-H, Huyn. And so he's actually an up-and-coming TikTok artist, really took off in 2021. He's got a few covers that really put him on the map. And so I'm excited to see what he comes out with. But this song in particular is, it's a good vibe. It's an easy listen. You should listen to it when you're in your...
in your winter.
Into your winter phase, during your bleed. Give it a tune in. But yeah, enjoy him. He's young and he's full of energy. So give that a good listen. But ultimately, yeah, stay tuned for your next Real Talk Sundays. And thanks for joining us for this one.